when you were watching in 2007, when you watched the Patriots offense, was that the kind of thing that you thought could ever be duplicated?
Well, you know, I think the thing that really has been impressive, and I just finished talking to our media about it, is really the staying power, you know, organizationally they've had over 10 years. And I don't think you look to duplicate or try to duplicate. We spend more time talking about doing all the right things and trying to pay close attention to what New England's done as an organization. You know, and certainly they've been at the forefront of our league. And I said this earlier, you know, if you were in business, it would be silly not to pay attention to how they've been successful, their formula, and their recipe. And, you know, we've tried to, when we came in 2006, begin to change a culture. And, you know, we've got all the film at our disposal. So we spend a lot of time looking at, you know, the top teams, not just offensively, but on defense and in the kicking game. But they're, you know, they're an organization that has done a lot of things well over a long period of time, and you know, we pay close attention to each year as to the different things that they're doing to have success.
So, how are you guys doing in getting there so far?
Well, we still have a long ways to go. I mean, I when you say there, where they've been is pretty impressive, and when you look at the playoff wins that they've shared and. You know, there have been new faces there, and yet Bill and Tom, and there have been a number of people in the organization that have remained constant. And when you have the success they've had, you know, certainly players are, and coaches are in demand. And through that turnover each year, to Bill's credit and their team's credit, they've been able to develop young players and come back out and win very impressively. So, you know, I think looking closely at who's at the top in your industry or your business is smart. And, you know, that they clearly will be the best team we've seen to date on our schedule. When you look at the speed and you look at the way they're playing defensively and they're scoring defense, they have an offensive line that's got great continuity. You know, you go on and on and on.
I know obviously when in 03 you'd already been an offensive coordinator for quite some time. What did your experience with, or how did your experience with Coach Parcells really prepare you for this and kind of maybe put the final piece of becoming a head coach in place for you?
Well, I mean, I think there were so many things in working with a guy like Parcells that you learned on a daily basis. You know, I thought Bill was outstanding at understanding you know, the human element to our game and the preparation side of our game and getting a team and an organization going in the right direction. And, you know, to have 3 years of that is invaluable. And I consider myself fortunate to have had those opportunities. And, you know, certainly there's a lot of development and growth that takes place, and you know, you begin to formulate or think of your own plan. But you know, his legacy is pretty impressive, and the people you know that he's touched along the way is pretty impressive.
You talk about that, and obviously there are a lot of you guys who'd worked for him out there in the league, and Belichick's one of them, and Haley and Sperano and everything else. Is there something that you'd like to think, or that maybe you know is a hallmark that anyone who's a protege of Parcells, what their program is?
Well, I think there's obviously, and you mentioned a number of different coaches and you know, none of which are the same or none of whom are the same. And yet there's, you know, there's going to be structure and there's going to be a certain way you want to play the game. There's been coaches that have been with them longer than others, you know, and when you really date back and you look at the history of Parcells and Belichick and the success they had dating back to the Giants and then forward, you know, is very impressive and something that you know, all of us, you know, hope to someday enjoy and understand how hard it is and, you know, how challenging it is week in and week out to win in our league.
Do you make a call to Parcells this week?
No, I spoke to him last week. You know, right now we've just been, you know, busy with the game plan, and it's hard in season really to touch base with a lot of people just because of the schedule.
Belichick was talking about the many layers of your offense. How long has it taken to get to this point, to get that complexity to the point where it's also, you know, easy for or easy enough for your quarterback and your offense to execute?
Well, I think there's some change year to year with personnel that you've got to be willing to adjust with. You know, Drew's someone that studies the game very hard and allows us to do certain things. You know, each year, you know, I don't think you ever quite pick up where you left off. I think you really, you know, you go back to the beginning and then, you know, you're somewhat flexible with change. You know, Heath Evans certainly was a big part of what we were doing early on in the season. And then with his injury, you make changes. And Jamal Brown with his injury in training camp, it forces you to make changes. And, so, you know, the personnel anymore year to year changes more so now than it ever has, and so there's been some adjustment year to year, if you will, and certain things you try to emphasize more. So it's, you know, it's an ongoing process. You know, we've been able to run the ball better this year than we had in the past. You know, and the continuity of quarterback I think is important.
Sean, Pete Carmichael's a guy from this area. Can you just talk about, like, what he's brought to the offense? And has he brought anything new since he was promoted from quarterbacks coach?
Well, he first got hired here as the quarterback coach in 06, you know, a couple months before we ever signed Drew Brees. And that was really more of a coincidence in the fact that, you know, Pete had come from San Diego. And, you know, we were able to, after we signed Brees, take some of the personnel terminology or some of the play type terminology and use some things that he was familiar with because we were just putting it in for the first time. He's very intelligent. He's an extremely hard worker. And I think he's one of those guys that understands very thoroughly offensive football and not just one aspect of it, the running game, the protections, you know, all the looks you get defensively he's really progressed each year. He's had opportunities to leave as a coordinator, and now he's in that position with us, and he does an outstanding job.
Sean, Bill talked today about the opportunity he got to spend some time with you at a Pro Bowl a couple years ago. What was that like for you, and what do you recall about that?
Well, my first memory was that they put the Peyton family in 303 and 304, and I know Bill was in 202 or 203, 204. And my biggest concern were my young kids jumping off the beds in the morning at about 6:30 and bugging him below us. But it was a great opportunity for us. You know, when you have a chance to spend a week and really just try to get someone else's opinion and thoughts, someone as successful as Bill's been, for me as a young coach after my first year, you know, there might be three or four just different questions, scheduling questions, or things that you might want to get a better grasp from. You know, he's a guy that I have a ton of respect for, and I really enjoyed the time we had a chance to spend just that week. You know, on the way to the stadium on game day at the Pro Bowl, they send the buses from the hotel. I think it's Saturday. You know, so NFC bus one and AFC bus one kind of leave at the same time, and then bus two 15 minutes later and bus three. And on the way to the stadium, the NFC bus one broke down, and you know, we were about 7 miles from the Hula Bowl there, and the bus pulls over to the side and the AFC bus pulls behind us, and the driver said, hey, you know, we're not going to be able to go anywhere here, so we all had to get out. And what I can remember is you know, all of us piling on to the AFC bus, and I'm sitting next to Bill. We're heading into the stadium getting ready to play a game, and I turn all the way in the back, and my son Connor, who was six at the time, is sitting between LaDainian Tomlinson and Drew Brees, and he's got no idea. But but it was a good experience and one that I'll always remember.
Talk, Sean, a little bit about what Drew Brees means to the Saints franchise. I sort of link it to the Patriots up here, their success, Tom Brady, it starts there. Could you draw a similar parallel to the Saints and Drew Brees?
Well, I think if you're going to have success, I think the quarterback position is where you have to start with. I mean, it's certainly an understatement, but, you know, this is a player that's going to handle the ball between 60 and 80 snaps a game and make, that many decisions a game. And in order to win and really get where you want to go, you've got to have good play at that position. And how you acquire the player can vary. You know, in Tom's case, you know, he was drafted to New England. In our case, we were able to sign Drew after San Diego, but I do think that to have a chance to win and win consistently, that position is extremely important.
Do you see any similarities between those two guys? Obviously, with Drew, you're much more familiar with him behind the scenes, but just between the way they play.
Well, I think you would say that they're extremely driven. They're extremely accurate. They're extremely thorough in their approach, in their approach in every detail as to how they take care of their body, the film they watch, all the things that goes into being successful at that position. And I think that those would be things that you would find in common.
Sean, why was Drew so perfect for the system? And I know, can you kind of take us through like the whole pursuit of him when you first got to New Orleans and what you saw in him that was so perfect? Because I know, if I'm not mistaken, Tony Romo was kind of in the mix at that point too.
Well, what happened initially is, you know, there was probably a month and a half where we were evaluating our options and looking at the draft, and it wasn't until probably after the combine that all of a sudden, the topic of Brees came up and that he was released from San Diego. And then, you know, you had to spend, or we had to spend the time evaluating the injury like everyone. And, there weren't a lot of people really jumping on buses to come here in 06. It was right after Katrina. And, he had come on, he and his wife had taken their visit and then left here and went to Miami. There was some risk in regards to the injury, and yet, back to the things we just talked about that we looked at with Tom and Drew, you know, you're looking at someone that's going to rehab and do all the necessary things to get healthy. And, I think it was our good fortune as an organization that we were able to secure him. And he did a great job of rehabbing his shoulder. It took a while. I mean, there's a whole off season there in that 06 off season where, you know, really during the mini camps that he was unable to throw, and really the first 2.5-3 weeks of training camp where, you know, he still wasn't 100%. But, he's worked extremely hard at it, and he's a guy that's very critical of himself, looks for challenges, and each year is worked on getting better. And I think part of the fit is really us building an offense around him to some degree, and some of the things that he does well, and trying to each week take advantage of those.
Sean, I know you touched on it a little bit before, but I remember reading a quote from Drew Brees about how big a loss Heath Evans was, not just for his on the field play, but in the locker room as well. Can you just explain like how or what a difference Heath made in the short time he was in the locker room?
Well, when we got Heath in the off season, we were looking for a couple things. You know, he provides versatility in that, you know, he's someone that is athletic enough to fit on the linebackers in the running game and sustain blocks. He can catch the football. You can ask the player to do a number of things. He is a smart player. And so I think the fit for him here in that room was a positive one. And you know, the play in Miami in which he was injured on was a little bit unusual after a reception, but he did give you the versatility that a lot of times maybe you don't necessarily have with a fullback. But it really started with, you know, his ability to help us as a blocker in the run game. That was an area we thought we needed to improve on.
Hey, Sean, I do know that Mike Zimmer's son is on your staff. Can you just talk about kind of the effect that – I know obviously Coach Zimmer's had the impact in Cincinnati is hard to quantify. Did that whole thing have an impact on you guys as well?
Well, we dealt with a few deaths this year, and Drew lost his mother in training camp, and then with Adam's mom about 2 months ago. Adam was a college player at Trinity in San Antonio, and when he finished school, I was able to hire him here as one of our coaching assistants. We're close with his family, and Mike and I were together in Dallas for 3 years. Adam's one of those guys that's just always been around football, and certainly when someone in your family or someone on your team, be it a coach or a player, has a death like that and loses a parent, it's always difficult. So it was a challenging time for Adam and still will be for a while.
Thanks, Sean.
Thanks a lot, Sean. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.